Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Everything about you so sexy, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Spain snatched a point and Wales beat the Finns. It's Friday, 4th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Of Liberty X Andy to begin the show.
Love it.
You know what I mean.
It's a real Friday treat for everyone listening to hear them be called sexy by Marcus Speller.
I think
can we all agree on that?
We can.
I think so, especially as with his hair headphone configuration today, if I can paint the picture, listeners, Marcus looks very much like latter-day Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like someone who you can't imagine scoring for Barcelona.
Well, on
I
one hand,
I still take that as a compliment.
On one hand,
but you look good doing it.
You've done very well out of that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's a bit of a dig at the end.
It is.
He's
do you know
hanging,
why?
He's been hanging around Pete Donaldson too long.
He's just a rascal, Andy Brassel. That's why.
Some people call you Andy Brassel, don't they?
Well, either way, I'll take that as a theme tune.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. I will.
Naughty little sausage. Before we begin today's show, it's just lovely to have international football back, everybody. I speak on behalf of the nation and the world's population, damn it all. I was correct, Mitro scored.
Yeah, there was a prediction made by you yesterday. There was
easy
a prediction
peasy
made by Pete Donaldson yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He is obviously, as we know, as the Twitter chart goes, he is chaos bad, Pete
mm-hmm,
Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
He chose Mitro to be sent off because some people just like to watch the world burn.
Yes.
You are an international pervert. You are a positive man when it comes
international football pervert.
Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Sorry, yeah. You are an international football pervert, and I won't be editing that out. And you
I've been called that since the guy at customs.
you predicted a goal for Mitro, and it was an absolute screamer.
2 yards out.
Still got to score them.
It's the kind of chances that Fulham will create a lot this coming season.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I can imagine him walking the ball into their own, into the other team's net.
Come on. Cushion on the finish.
Yeah.
Quite delicious.
He delivered it classily, didn't he?
I think the thing was, he was sort of under the shadow of Artin Zubia, though, wasn't he? Zubinho, yeah. Who got himself a couple. Mm. And as he gets older and slower, he gets better.
He does.
You know, we've talked about my theory that we're going to get more and more of these strikers who get into their 30s and get better and better. I know Robert Lewandowski is very much the high end of that.
He's at the vanguard of it, Andy.
Yeah. I think so. But Zubia is someone who you can see him getting older and wiser as it goes on. And the fact is, he's never been fast. He's kind of a lump, like a high class lump. But I think that works really
Would
well.
You describe me like that, Andy.
Yeah, not to your face.
And will you become a better broadcaster through your 40s? Do you think?
Let's hope so.
Hard to see.
Got to get there first, obviously.
Hard to see where you can push the ceiling any further, mate. Obviously,
it's very true. But Serbia lost, though. But you know, they'll be back.
They will.
With Mitro in their side, they've always got a chance. Mm. Andy, let's go on to Germany versus Spain straight away. It was the big one. It was the big one of the evening. I think we can agree. A last-gasp equaliser from Gaia after Timo Werner had scored for Germany. Some interesting bits and pieces going on there. I mean, you weren't that impressed by proceedings, though, were you?
No, the first half I thought looked like a load of unfit players who didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. Second half, I thought it warmed up a little bit. Of course, Ansu Fati coming on for the second half as well to make his Spain debut, their youngest player since, what, 30s?
1936. Sorry, Marcus, yeah. 1936.
Mm-hmm. Glad we're both across that.
Yeah, exactly. And, we've got the same date, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the Fred Perry era.
Anyway, in today's era, Ansu Fati could have got himself a goal or two. He had a couple ruled out, including that one. It's a really nice header near the end. Mm. But unfortunately, Sergio Ramos was far too busy wrestling someone on the penalty spot, so it got ruled out, which was a bit of a pain. But he certainly added something. Of course, Leeds fans would have been interested to have a little look at Rodrigo, and I think you got a sense of what he offers for Leeds United, which is
I agree.
Go on.
No, please finish.
I think you get a lot in terms of intelligence, in terms of stretching the game. And, you know, I think you've got to bear in mind he's come off the back of what was just not just a bad season for him, but a bad season for everyone connected with Valencia. But he's not a 20 goal a game kind of a season kind of guy. He's definitely not a 20 goal a game kind of guy. He's not a 20 goal a season kind of guy. I think he'll be useful to Leeds in so many ways. But
he said that when he was negotiating his wages. Look, okay, calm down. I'm not a 20
goal a game man.
A goal a season kind of guy.
Go big on the add-ons.
Yeah. Well, he's never scored 20 goals in the season, has he? That's just a fact. I mean, opinions are opinions, but the fact of the matter is, even in that inauspicious time he spent at Bolton Wanderers.
Yes.
Yeah, where he's got.
I'm not compare modern Rodrigo to.
I'm not judging him on that. I'm just giving people a flavour of the fact that he's been in England before.
Yes.
So it's a point of interest. I'm not judging him on that period he spent 10 years ago. I'm just saying throughout his career, he's not scored 20 goals in a season. And you know what? And I know you're going to level at me that it's a difficult situation and players haven't played much football and it's international return for the first time in a long time. But in microcosm, that chance he had when the keeper comes out and he goes round him, or as a coming together and he comes past him, the hesitancy I found very, very odd and actually quite worrying if I were a Leeds United fan.
Well, Kevin Trapp got the chance to slide tackle him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like when the goalkeeper slides tackles you, it's extraordinary.
He took two extra touches in front of an open goal.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very, very strange unusual decision.
Although somebody needed to shout, it's a trap!
Yeah, exactly.
It was an open goal quite a long way out, though.
I think Kevin Trapp shouts that himself. Yeah. Every time he comes to the ball. So the keeper, it's a trap! Yeah. Abraham Akbar's every time.
I think so. If he doesn't, he's missing a very good trick there.
That's 2 days in a row for Star Wars mentions. Bit of Darth Vader yesterday, bit of James L. Jones yesterday.
Yeah. Do you reckon it would put you off? Like, not the fact that he's shouting in your ear, but the fact that you've got, you know, the image of basically a lobster in a suit in your mind.
Is it a lobster? Space lobster?
Yeah.
It's kind of a space lobster, isn't
I've
it?
I've never thought of it as that before.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, Rodrigo, as you say, he's not a prolific goal scorer, but he looked quite lively. He's leading the line for Spain. So, yeah. I mean, there's reasons to, I suppose.
He put on the goal, didn't he, as well? Didn't he set up the goal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Spain, I didn't think were particularly great. I think, as you say, Luke, you have to kind of reserve judgment in this game because the players have just come off last season in many cases, like Thiago Alcantara. You know,
I was very surprised he played, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he's
did well though.
He's happy to play. He's happy to play because he wasn't always first choice for Bayern in the running, and it was just the injury to Pavard, which saw Kimmich move to right back and him played in midfield. Otherwise, he wouldn't have played the final even. But I thought, you looked at that and, yeah, you can't rush to judgments because of the situation, because this is, sorry, Marcus, the least welcome international window in, just because of the situation.
Just leave it. It's not worth it.
In recent times.
Be the bigger man. Walk away.
But I think
got Luke's game to think about.
I did look at this and think this is why neither Germany or Spain are amongst the favourites for this. The way
for the Euros,
next
summer,
yeah, absolutely.
If they happen next summer, of course.
Absolutely, because I think Germany were much better for most of the second half. And then you look at Yogi Love's substitutions in the home straight of the game. They invited Spain onto them. Yeah. When Spain had created very little, I mean, that Rodrigo chance was really created by Kevin Trapp, wasn't it, as you said before. So
it was a really lively start to the game, but it kind of petered out a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And there wasn't that sort of level of intensity, which is what has been so good about the Nations League. I mean, talking about the Nations League, I've seen a lot of criticism of it on social media over the last couple of days.
Yeah, I don't think
all of them. Yeah. I think it's the mute. I think that's the official tactic.
I'll mute button them, yeah.
But I don't think we should confuse international friendlies and Nations League. Mm-hmm. I mean, the intensity is not what it should be and not what it was in the first round of the first edition of the Nations League for a particular reason.
Of course.
And I think, you know, there are always people, as you'll be aware, Marcus, who are just dying to stick the boot into international football because as far as they're concerned, it gets in the way of club football. But I don't think this and this very small sample size and where it's put should be used as a reason to say the Nations League is a bad concept, because I don't believe that's...
No, I think it's a really important concept, chiefly, actually, not for necessarily a Germany or a Spain, but some of the teams we're going to come on to talk to a bit later, they get a real opportunity to get promoted, to play, to test themselves with better teams a lot more often in a different environment. And far too often do you have a situation where the lowlier nations, if you like, get a combination of just friendly games or games in qualification rounds that they just can't win, and no one actually gets any benefit from it, particularly at that level. So I think for that reason it's really important.
Well, look, Andorra kept a clean sheet last night.
There you go, see, that's the stuff. Can I ask a big question about this game particularly? Andy, you are a German football expert. You know more about German football than anyone I've ever met.
Thank you. Call him a pervert.
I was going to say thank you for not saying that, but they've just...
I suppose there's a subtle difference.
Okay, I'll read it. Andy, you are an absolute pervert for German football. Speaking of which, did you manage to clock? You are the sort of person who have the insight into this over and above everyone else. Mm. Did you manage to see Yogi Love sniffing his own ball?
If he was, I hope he was wearing disposable gloves.
I agree. And when I say sniff balls, for those who listen or are new listeners who don't know about Yogi Love or haven't heard this story before, he scratches his balls and sniffs his fingers quite a lot.
We didn't break that story.
No, but I'm just saying people might not know what I mean. So okay. I'm just trying to give people a little bit of a way in.
Yeah.
Did you see any of that kind of behaviour on the touchline? Was he picking his nose and eating it?
Come on.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to find out.
Well, I would hope.
Fairly boring game.
Especially after his contract extension, that he's delegating that to the coaching staff.
Do you reckon they mentioned that in the contract talks? Right. You've been great. Done brilliant. World Cup win and all that. But, and it is a big but, Yogi, you're going to need to stop. Are you doing it now? You're going to need to stop doing it. You're doing it under the table.
There's
now.
Cameras everywhere.
Yeah. Don't you think they're going, it's part of your brand, you must maintain it? Yeah. You know, like Robert Pires was forbidden to shave off his beard when he was a player.
And
his little beard.
Pete Donaldson's got a little beard now, hasn't he? He looks like a dishonest master of coin, doesn't he?
It's a little, it's like troubadour feel to him as
musketeer
well.
Beard.
Yeah, I'd say so. Before we move on, Andy, Ferran Torres, Manchester City's new sign, he played.
Yes, and a few little flashes of excitement for him.
Yeah, I think a bit like Yogi Love.
We saw how he's going to be quite useful.
Carry on.
And Timo Werner as well. Very nice finish for him. Nice. Very, very compelling.
He is a bastard on the pitch, isn't he, Timo Werner? Mm.
I think Chelsea fans are going to enjoy him a lot.
Very much so. And I think I saw him play last season in the flesh. So busy. Mm. Strong as well.
And people think it's just about counter-attacking with Werner, because his key goal, his trademark goal is the ball over the top that he chases, wins, and finishes. But there's so much more to him than that. And it has to be said as well, from a Manchester United perspective, that finish was really the only thing that was going to beat David De Gea. David De Gea had a really good game.
Important to say.
Really good game.
Yeah. But basically good saves.
But Timo Werner, would you say...
He's not under a lot of pressure, though, is he? Because the second choice keeper is actually Kepa.
Yeah.
Who doesn't make any saves.
So Pepe Reina's around there.
He's not in the squad.
He's dancing in the stands.
Yeah.
But Timo Werner, would you say there's a touch of the Luis Suarez about him in that... the way he kind of is always snapping at the heels of defenders.
I think that's a really good comparison.
Doesn't sort of let anybody rest.
A much nicer version of Luis Suarez.
Luke called him a bastard.
Not much nicer, a bit nicer.
Did you see, Suarez apparently phoned Chiellini, didn't he, to make sure... You know, remember the bite? Yeah, sorry about that.
Are you at the training ground at the moment? I'm outside. Can I have a word? Yeah.
Apparently so.
Of course, I guess Timo Werner would have been the one person who was glad that was behind closed doors in Stuttgart last night. Because it would have been really interesting to see the reaction had he scored for Germany in Stuttgart.
Because he's hated by his fellow countrymen.
He's particularly disliked by Stuttgart fans, because of course he came through, he was the youngest debutant in the first team, and then when he went off to RB Leipzig once they were relegated, they were really, really pissed off about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's had to put up with some really quite grim personal shit. So even though he seems...
Change the character of him.
Yeah, exactly.
People may not like it, and I'm not talking about that, but coming over, getting over a lot of that stuff.
Even though he seems quite softly spoken, he's actually, I think, is quite a hardness to him.
Yeah. I think embarrassing myself, I think he'll be a big hit.
I think he's Chelsea fans will enjoy very much seeing that man lead the line for them. And let's go to Group B4, gentlemen. Wales beat Finland 1-0 away. It was a great win for Giggs's gang. Kiefer Moore with an 80th-minute winner. It was one of those tricky games where you get the point, get a result, and off you go. So they'll be very pleased indeed. Not a lot happened in the game, but Gareth Bale was taken off at half-time. Luke, did you see this?
I did see that.
He looked a bit out of sorts.
He didn't make any kind of contribution whatsoever. I mean, the stats of the amount of times he gave the ball away, the amount of completed passes he had, it was pretty grim reading.
Can we expect any more?
Well, as you say, there are mitigating circumstances, but it's not the best look in the world when you give a big interview a couple of days before saying how raring to go you are, how fit you feel, and how much you're really into starting playing football properly. Yeah. Unfortunately, he just looked like a guy who doesn't play any football because he doesn't play any football. So it wasn't ideal, but Ryan Giggs actually said after the game it was always part of the plan to give him 45 minutes with a view to what's happening in their fixture. I think they've got a game on Sunday, haven't they? An important game on Sunday. So he wanted to keep him in mind for that. I think it was a really encouraging result for Wales.
Pleasing for Kiefer Moore to keep going on his kind
Robert
of
Earnshaw was called well, Robert Earnshaw, one of them, one of the pundits was calling him Kiefer Moore, which I'd never heard a pronunciation before. But no, other people were calling him Kiefer. Look,
I think Sutherland.
I think so as well.
That's the only reference point I have.
Exactly. He had a goal disallowed earlier on for a little cheeky foul in the build-up, or he kind of wrestled a defender to the floor. But he looks like a pretty robust, pretty interesting player for Wales, important. But the point I was just going to make was that Finland have qualified for the Euros next season, largely built on how good they've been at home, right? And so for Wales to go there with a lot of young players, they had 4 or 5 players that they probably would have picked. Who weren't available, who they couldn't use, and to go and win is a really, really important result for them. And the final point I was going to make is that Kiefer Moore's actually from Cornwall. So the only other two players of any note I can think of from Cornwall are Nigel Martin and Matthew Etherington.
What about the Irish, sort of Cornish-Irish?
Yeah.
Played for Ireland in the 1990 World Cup. Remember when we went and did that training thing? and he was playing. What was his name?
Oh, Chris Morris. Yeah. Is he from Cornwall?
I think he might be.
I think his
family might even make Cornish pasties to prove that he's from Cornwall.
Well, maybe he's what? Has he been doubted in the past?
Not by me.
Well, that might well be the third, but Keeper Moore's the only one I can think of. I remember that. I remember us doing a FA training weekend, Marcus, and having to do a load of exercises and a load of training games. And the guy, Chris Morris, who was actually there to qualify as an FA coach, was...
/ talk to me about 1990 World Cup.
Was trying to take a training session, and all I could hear in the background was Marcus going, "Oi, oi, what was it like to play against Marco van Basten?"
See, my question...
It was a handful, wasn't he?
Yeah.
My question to Chris Morris would be, you got any cake?
Yeah, exactly. Sadly, it's not the same Chris Morris. But we cannot go any further in this game. I'll obviously throw to Andy without saying two things. One is Finland's kit is magnificent.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful kit.
Yeah.
Secondly...
I think it's quite controversial.
What do you think? Have you seen the turkey one?
The turkey one's magnificent.
I knew you'd be up for that, Andy.
Magnificent.
Oh, the one... I saw a picture of Soyuncu wearing it. It looks like a... It looks like a warm jumper.
Like a Turkish carpet.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yes.
The second point is
that I cannot believe more has not been made in our GIF meme world, GIF-centred, meme-tastic world we live in about that miss from that Finnish player. I mean, he was a yard out.
Yeah.
A yard out.
Yeah, unmarked. Time.
Hit, came off his shin and hit the post.
But the
it's
thing
incredible
is, whatever,
miss.
Whatever level of football you've played at, we've almost been there before because... You think, right, it's a yard out. I'm going to absolutely whack the net off this.
But he goes on it for the wrong foot.
Then it goes in off the inside of the post.
Mm.
All the levels I've played at, basically all the bad ones, I would be pissed off if someone missed that chance.
Oh, of course.
We'd be head in hand.
It's a glorious chance. And it was at 0-0, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Can you have a bit of sensitivity? Marcus hasn't scored for Barcelona for quite a long time now.
For all my life,
I guess. He just doesn't fit in.
I have been there before, but never got on the pitch.
Excluded by Suarez and Messi. Yeah. They're bullies, bullies.
Absolute buggers. In the same group, Group B4, Bulgaria drew at home 1-1 with Ireland. Celtic new boy Shane Duffy with an injury time equaliser. Obviously a header from a corner.
Yeah.
A great header, though. Keeper might be a touch disappointed that he didn't get over a bit quicker.
A captain. Header.
But it was a captain's header, an important point for Ireland as well, because again, another one of those sort of awkward games. You go away from home against, you know, an okay side, and to snatch a late goal like that will give them a lot of a bit of encouragement inside. I mean, Ireland have just won once in their last 11 away matches in all competitions, failed to score in six of those. So that Duffy equaliser would have been a very welcome sight for Stephen Kenny, who's first game in charge of Ireland, of course, Andy. And it was having big Mick McCarthy on commentary as
loved
well.
Loved it.
The circle was complete. Despite the big Mick missing out on a chance to go to the Euros, of course, because we all know the pandemic is over. But Ireland do have their one-legged playoff against Slovakia next month for the Euros.
Yes, it's really quite unusual, I thought, having Mick McCarthy as a pundit for the job that he's just left with the coach that he's...
Or summariser.
Co-coms, I guess.
Yeah, co-coms. That's the word, isn't it?
Oh, you can't have my main commentary. My God. Imagine Mick McCarthy doing the actual commentary.
Are we on? All right. for me to talk about this, do you?
For me, that's a poor pass. What's happened, Mick? What's happening?
I must have told you about my discussion with him about living in Lyon, because, of course, he played there for 6 months under Ramon Domenech.
Fuck. What?
Come on.
Those two together.
That's incredible.
How this is the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah. So I think I might have asked him about Domenech as a coach. And this was right at the point where Domenech was one of the prime figures of international
Don't
ridicule
tell him I'm
in
a Scorpio.
Football. Yeah. And he said, one of the best managers in the world, isn't he?
Yes. Love that.
Got France to the World Cup final.
Yeah.
Also, I asked him in his 6 months in Lyon if he picked up much French. And do you know what he said to me? He said, "Je parle français comme un vache espagnol." and that's it.
Yeah. Well, do.
But it's still excellent. Very convincing.
Exactly.
Very convincing.
But going back to Ireland, though, I mean, it was an all right performance. They looked a bit lively in the first half and so on. But as I say, you know, one of those ones where you get the point and get out of there. But well, I think next.
Well, the standout moment of that game was Nedelev's through ball for Bulgaria's goal. That was a pass of the night. The weight on it, the timing, beautiful assist that was.
No, it was
brilliant,
delightful.
Brilliant to watch. Stephen Kenny, as you mentioned, his first game in charge. Bit of an interesting situation for him because he's been groomed for the job. He's taken the job in quite weird circumstances, and they've got. Ireland have got some good players used to playing at a really high level. If you look at that back four that played last night, I mean, Matt Doherty's obviously just signed for Spurs. Shane Duffy.
Doherty.
Yeah, whichever one it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John Egan.
Duffy feels like quite a get for Celtic, I think.
Duffy.
And Ender Stevens. Yeah, I think it's a great back four.
Well, Randolph in goal knows what he's doing, you think.
Exactly. So I think that they've got an interesting few months because, as you said, they've got the Slovakia game. Mm-hmm. If they win that, they play the winner of Bosnia and Northern Ireland, I believe, for a chance to go through.
Right, yeah. I forget now. There's so many.
Yeah, to the Euros. I think that's right. And the second point is that, you know, in that group they're in the Nations League, with Wales, Bulgaria and Finland. I mean, it's a winnable group for them. And if they win, they go up into League A.
I think so it's a hard one to call that, motivation. Actually. You think four of those sides. I mean, I would like to think, you know, Wales and Ireland were going to be shooting out for top spot. But Finland, you know, qualified for the Euros, as you say. So
Exactly.
It should be an interesting one there. Before we go for a break, gentlemen, a little dip into Group D1. Lovely little win for the Faroe Islands, coming back from 2-1 down to win 3-2 against Malta. This is what the Nations League's all about.
Absolutely.
Because a side like that, you see the scenes of celebration when they score. They don't ever get that when they get whipped 9-0 by Germany.
Yeah, and I think people who sniff about stuff like that overlook that the fact that for every footballer, it's their right to
piss off
to represent their country if they're good enough. These moments, you have to be dead inside not to enjoy them.
Andy, remember the names: Clement Olsen, Andreas Olsen, Brander Heidrichsen Olsen, the Olsen triplets, as I call them. They were the scorers for the Faroe Islands. And let me tell you something: Hendrickson, I think he goes by Hendrickson Olsen, his winning goal in the 90th minute. It was Beckham-esque. It was a goal of the night. Free kick, about 25 yards out. Absolute Beckham-esque whip into the top corner. Even had the hair like a young David Beckham. Off into the stands he was celebrating. Ladies and gentlemen. The subs were there.
It's good to know that curtains are alive and well in the Faroe Islands.
Of course they are.
Come back round again. But also Faroe Islands buoyed and given extra confidence by avoiding that tricky Group D2 that they could have been drawn in with Gibraltar, Liechtenstein and San Marino.
There you are.
They've instead been lined up with Andorra, Latvia and Malta.
They'll be pleased to avoid the rock.
They were, absolutely.
It's a bit like when you're in a Europa League group with loads of travelling and think, oh, there's a lot of miles on the clock there.
Yeah, absolutely. Gibraltar play San Marino tomorrow night, I believe.
Eyes on that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha.
Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done. And, you know, all of that stuff, I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
You've never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air. No, it doesn't.
The Self Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, which means it's time for a brand new one of these.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good at many topics today.
What we're going to be asking next week is this. Obviously, the transfer window is currently open. You have the choice to sign anyone for your football club. The only catch is it can't be a player. Who do you support? Who do you sign? And what job are they going to be doing? Andy, the cogs are going around in your mind, aren't they?
I think it's a pretty obvious one. AFC Wimbledon, of course, just moving into a new stadium at Plough Lane. And of course, they've got to make efforts to reconnect with the local community. So I think who better to announce that
than Vinnie Jones? Oh, no. He was a player.
Yeah, just about. I would go for Ian McKellen because he's got the voice of gravitas, but maybe in his Magneto costume, sort of levitating over the stadium.
You know, the costume doesn't mean he can levitate. You know that, right?
Special effects.
All right. That's a lot of the budget, though, taken up for that, I think.
Oh, we've got three temporary stands. I think we've probably got some cash left over.
Is Ian McKellen a Wigan Athletic fan? Have I made that up?
Sir Ian McKellen.
Sorry. Apologies to the Knight of the Realm.
I thought he was Arsenal.
Is he? I don't know. For some reason, I thought he was a Wigan fan.
He owns a pub in, like, South East London, I think.
There you go. Will he get people back there after the game? Will he levitate back to there?
He's definitely failed his job if he's getting people back to a pub in South East London.
That's true, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Well, Millwall. Get him at Millwall. Match made in heaven.
Do you know what? I was thinking about this. Yeah. So I would go for, obviously I support Portsmouth, club chairman Tony Soprano.
Tony Soprano?
Imagine it. Yeah. Imagine him sat in the thing with a cigar on. It'd be great.
Yeah, the actor who played him is dead, which is sadly. And it is a fictional character.
Yeah, but have a bit of fun with it. Yeah, I'm trying to say. Well, we're trying to give the listeners the free creative license of a bit of fun with it.
I understand, but not that much free.
They're going to email in their droves to show@footballrambleday.com.
They are.
They're going to tweet using the hashtag Ramble Topics. They're going to tell us it, and I want them to have as much creative license as they can.
All right, I think that might be regrettable.
Were you just going to say Fulham, Hugh Grant, next? That's what you were going to say.
Yeah, Hugh Grant on the door. Welcome in.
What waste of his talent. Hugh, thanks for joining us. Put this lanyard on. Just stand there, please.
I think it would make a lot of people's days. Oh, dearie me. By the way, we've got a tweet here from Jenny Phillips.
Yeah, regular listener Jenny.
Yeah.
I saw this earlier on and... She tweeted, perhaps inevitable given that she has been listening to the Football Ramble since she was born.
Mm.
My 2-year-old has just named her new doll Donnie.
Oh no.
And it's chilling.
Donnie van der Beek. That's what I'm going for straight away. Hashtag dreamlike Donnie.
Dreamlike Donnie. Yeah. Andy, what do you make of that?
Is anyone else shivering at the moment?
Oh, dearie me.
If you've got a doll or any kind of small tool named after toy named after Pete Donaldson, then let us know. Keep it clean.
Keep it very clean. Right, now let's look ahead to the big one that's happening tomorrow. I know the game's tonight, but we're talking about tomorrow's game, Andy. Brassel, England against Iceland on Saturday tea time. It's a big one for England. Get the old Icelandic monkey off their back.
Also, it's big Gareth Southgate's 50th birthday this week.
Yeah, give him a present. So, give him the present he really wants.
It doesn't feel like Gareth Southgate's 50, does it?
I was surprised when I heard it, and now you've said that, I'm just going to go check. So you guys carry on. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
He looks about 46 to me. So that's what I would say.
That's a very fair sum up of it, Marcus.
Andy,
he was 50 yesterday. There you go.
There you are, see?
Yeah. Don't doubt me, Brassel.
Yeah, Andy.
Brassel.
I never doubted you.
All right, thanks.
Andy, who are you wanting to see in goal for England? Big question. It's up for grabs, isn't it? Jordan Pickford has been the number
one. If you don't care, pretend you care. All right? Don't give us the sigh.
All right, sod off. Luke, who do you fancy?
Can't we just talk about fucking PSG or whatever? Right, I think I would like to see Dean Henderson in goal.
Would you?
Or Nick Pope.
You're going to have to choose one.
I would take the Pope.
Admiral Akbar. Would you take the Pope?
I would take the Pope. Uh-huh. He's been really, really, really consistent.
Yeah.
I think Dean Henderson is someone who's on his way to somewhere good, but I just think the Manchester United connection and the fact that David De Gea's form was a little inconsistent last year has built him up to be in the minds of people something slightly bigger than what he is.
True, but Sheffield United are very good defensively, good record. Played his part
in that. I'm not saying he's not a good goalkeeper. Mm. I'm saying he's not England goalkeeper yet.
Okay. I think you're right. I think if you're going to go for form and experience
and likability
and the fact it seems like a lovely, they all seem like lovely lads.
A lot of the Burnley keepers are. If you think of Tom Heaton, think of Joe Hart.
Yeah, yeah. Well done on getting both those in.
I mean, really, a vote for Pope is a vote for Hart, isn't it?
There you go. You see,
Nick Pope is the standout candidate because of the reason I've mentioned. And yeah, you're right, Andy. Probably it's a bit early for Dean Henderson, but he's an encouraging, very exciting young talent, and he needs to be a part of the squad. It's the same principle about, we talked about Jack Grealish earlier in the week or last week or whenever it was. You know, you need him around it. He needs to be used to the environment. He needs to know some of the players. He needs to know the coach and stuff, because you might need him. You're two injuries away from needing Jack Grealish in a big way for England. Yep. So for him not being a part of the squad is a really strange situation. I know he is now. It's the same with Dean Henderson. Mm. You know, goalkeepers get injured all the time. Nick Pope's had a really bad injury, hasn't he? He was out for a very long time. The chances are, who knows what Jordan Pickford's going to do next? Certainly not Jordan Pickford. So Dean Henderson does need to be around it, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I mean, he just signed a new deal at Manchester United worth $120,000 a week, which
is not bad, is it?
A lovely old job for him. Yeah. I mean, Gary Neville said he believes that he needs to wait before he can become number one. If I was Dean Henderson, I would say, all right, Neville, can't you talk about something else?
He feels impatient, doesn't he? Because Henderson said, well, you know, even though I've signed this new deal, I want to be number one sooner rather than later. So even though he's committed to this contract, he's committed to taking an enormous pay rise.
Yeah.
He's not committed to staying come what may.
But Chris Wilder's comments about him were quite interesting, weren't they? That he said, he mentioned about Henderson's sort of arrogance. Now, I don't know Dean Henderson, so sometimes confidence can be misconstrued as arrogance and so on, blah, 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 blah. But he did say he might need to be taken down a peg or two, you know. And from what we hear about Henderson, he does come across as very confident. We have seen this with other...
What are you saying? Get Louis van Gaal back.
Get him in there. If there's someone who's going to knock him down a peg or two.
Yeah.
So I think that this whole idea of Henderson, you know, he does come with that sort of supreme confidence, which can make other people think, oh, actually, this guy could be ready. But we have seen this. I mean, Joe Hart's another one who was a bit like that. Now, Hart was an excellent keeper at the peak of his powers, but sometimes Hart's body language and what he would say in interviews would make people think, or perhaps he's even better than what we think, or he's going to be better. Whereas Nick Pope seems to be of a different temperament, a different type of creature. Mm. But when you look at the stats, you know, what was he? A clean sheet away from, you know, being joint Golden Glove winner with Edison in the Premier League, or whatever the award for a club like Burnley. You know, I know they built their sort of...
No, he's been outstanding.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
He's been great. What about some of the other newer faces to the squad? I mean, Grealish you've already mentioned. You know, Calvert Phillips is
Mason Greenwood.
Mason Greenwood. Do you think they're going to get a look at? I'd fancy Greenwood to get some minutes.
I think Greenwood is a tremendously exciting young talent. And to put that in perspective, I'm more excited about him than I was Rashford.
Yep.
I'm more excited about him than I was about Harry Kane.
Really?
Because Harry Kane came through in quite an unorthodox way.
Yeah, that's true.
And improved a great deal a little bit later on. But in terms of raw ability, in terms of impact, I think Mason Greenwood is... It's hard to think of a better natural finisher that England have had for a very, very long time.
And ice in his veins as well. He looks like very level-headed.
Head in the freezer, mate.
There you go.
And I had an interview with him this morning, and he seemed like a very level-headed young man, seemed like he knew exactly what he was doing. He talked a lot about concentration, a lot about focus, a lot about drive and ambition. He says that his favoured foot is his left foot, but he's outstanding with both feet.
I think he's just saying that.
Yeah, maybe.
If I was him, I'd say in the next interview.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. It's like back to Ousmane Dembélé, isn't it? Yeah. Taking corners with either foot. Yeah. Them asking him which foot do you take penalties with, and him going, I've no idea.
Yeah. I'll let you know when I get the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think he can make an impact if given a chance. But the key point I think I'd like to make was two. It's kind of a point separate into two. One is that... if England are going to go on to the next level and push for it, not just be it's nice to have a semi-final, but they're actually going to be part of a conversation in tournaments, plural, with this crop of players they've got, they need to put things like this to bed, potential baggage emotionally. I know there's a big change in staff and players since what happened in 2016.
He's done a lot of that, and this is another opportunity.
Exactly, but he needs to hit that home. And secondly, they just need to become proper like mentality monsters and need to make sure that when it comes down to the crunch, they can actually do it. And I think there's been a couple of odd things that Southgate's done more recently. One would be the Grealish thing. So I'll be very interested to see how they approach this game and how they deal with it. But they need to now make the step beyond the step they're currently at. It's fine to unify the nation in 2018 and have a great summer and everyone's really pleased and everyone loves it. And it was amazing. It was fantastic. We had a lovely time in 2018 as well.
We've had the UEFA Nations League since then, you know, where they won another penalty shootout or finished third.
Of course, but how did they get on? They finished third, right?
Got a medal.
Yeah, they finished third. So third, fourth and third, whatever it was.
But hang on, if England were consistently getting into a semi-final situation in competitions, that would be a huge step on from what's gone before.
Do you think that a semi-final next summer would be a success for them?
Well, it depends who they get and how it plays out.
Yeah, exactly.
If they play France in the semi-final,
it's the journey rather than the destination.
But with the way the groups are, you know, I've gone on about this enough times, but just to remind you all that there is a distinct possibility that England could play Germany, France or Portugal after the group stages, assuming England get through, which of course they would be favourites to do so. So if you kind of get, you know, if they were to beat France in the world, it would be the sort of second round and then have big games and then unfortunately they get beaten in the semi-final, you know, you've got to...
I understand the point of view and I just don't share it though because I just think it's excuses. I just think you're not going to win a big tournament about beating someone good.
Well, of course.
And if you look at the very... Because I could turn it another way and say 2018 was great, but they had an amazing run. They had such an easy run.
But 2018's done. There's a lot of new faces in the side.
But you have to be. You can't realistically expect to be a part of the conversation around the winners if you don't beat probably two of those.
No, of course. But I mean, Andy said earlier in the show that he doesn't think Germany or Spain are among the favourites for the Euros.
Which opens something up.
Do you think England currently would beat Germany or Spain?
I think they could do, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mm. Either of those.
Well, but the fact that there's a chance, whereas 5 years ago we would say, nah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I understand that. And I don't want to be seen as too negative.
To put the pressure on at the start as if we don't get in the final or don't win the competition, then it's a failure. I think that's nonsense.
But I haven't said that. What I've said is it's important for England to make... For me, look, you might feel like I'm being a bit impatient, and that's cool, but surely we can all agree in principle that the next step is for them to go to the next step.
Of course.
Because otherwise Gareth Southgate's going to have got to that point that's been got to by other managers and not got any further.
You look at Germany, and you start in 2006 with Klinsmann, for example, which I think when you look at... The feel-good factor in the nation has a lot in common with the beginning of the Gareth Southgate era. But you think they had to go...
Imagine if Gareth Southgate went the Jurgen Klinsmann route. That'd be amazing.
It would be incredible.
Rocks up in California, forgets all his documents, refuses to live in a country that he's managing. It'd be a proper heel turn by Gareth Southgate.
Who's the Hertha Berlin in the Premier League?
Newcastle, obviously.
The thing is, you think Germany get semi-final, semi, before they get to the point where they win the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes time, even if you've got an exceptional crop of players.
Mm-hmm. But fine, I don't want to labour this point, but
you're wrong.
Okay, fine. The difference is the pedigree Germany have had consistently throughout history is far better than England.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly, which is why we can't assume anything.
Fine. All right, fair enough.
Well, look, we shall see. But this is, you know, England have two games that they would fancy winning, of course, Iceland and Denmark.
Yeah. The thing that concerns me the most is Iceland, especially without fans, is there a sense that it's kind of a spa weekend? I know when you go to Iceland, the purity of the air is magnificent.
And the water.
Absolutely.
See, I've never been.
Also,
I've had the pleasure.
Right next to the National Stadium, you have just a public swimming pool, but where you go in and they have, as well as an Olympic-sized pool, a whole selection of what they call hot pots, which are like thermally heated like spa baths.
But a Lancashire hot pot.
All different degrees.
It's just gravy in it. It's amazing, Marcus. So what happens when you get in it, they put a big bit of pastry on you?
God, that would be quite something.
But that would be magnificent.
I'd love to do my recovery in Iceland.
And if I was great, if I was a player who'd been through this very unusual schedule, I'd be thinking, yeah, I'm getting in there. Come on, boys.
I bet you bloody.
So Andy's on record as saying that he would rather AFC Wimbledon win a game than England win the World Cup. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
So
Andy.
But just because you're so dispassionate about it, and just because of the conversation we've had related to Germany and stuff, what do you think?
Or am I so passionate about AFC Wimbledon?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's that. Maybe you've only got so much passion to go around.
Yeah.
That's it, exactly.
What do you consider to be a success for England next summer?
Like I said, I think it depends, or like Marcus said, I think it depends on how the teams they end up playing and in which order. I think a semi's fine, depending on who they play. But obviously, if you lose a semi at Wembley, it's going to be an enormously deflating
experience. Well, of course, especially if it's against a team who would have a chance of winning. But it's very hypothetical. But I mean, my biggest concern, and you mentioned yours there, is the fact that the security staff at the gate didn't know who Jack Grealish was.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It took a little bit of time getting in.
I mean, it's got quite a distinctive haircut.
I was going to say, of all the players.
And also, I mean, I don't mean to be cruel.
Jack Grealish, show us your calves. I know it's
I know it's a difficult job and everything, and it's an important job. But have they not read any newspapers the week leading up to that?
Of all the players, surely.
The most covered player since the squad was announced.
You're Pete Donaldson in disguise. You're coming nowhere near this place.
Everyone is.
Yeah. Talking of spa weekends, I think we should mention Paris Saint-Germain.
Andy, you were talking about spa weekends.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was. Well, this is huge. The fact that we've got six Paris Saint-Germain players who've tested positive for COVID,
including some big names.
COVID-19. Yeah, that's right. The three that were initially tested positive earlier this week. We'll go back to the beginning of the story. They were meant to start their Ligue 1 campaign away to Lens last weekend. Now, Lens, very big traditional club in the north of France, very well supported, playing their first home game in Ligue 1 in 9 years. And it's going to be against Paris Saint-Germain. And Paris go, well, can we have the weekend off? Because we did play in the Champions League final. And so the league say, yeah. Lens are very, very annoyed about this.
Didn't play much in the Champions League final, by the way.
And the sporting director said, well, you know, have they really just biffed off the game so they can go on holiday to Ibiza? They did go on holiday to Ibiza. They have come back with COVID-19. The three biggest ones, the three first to be tested positive, were Di Maria, Paredes and Neymar. Neymar described...
They are some of the main ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neymar described by L'Équipe as the master of ceremonies when they were having their soirees in Ibiza.
Since he doesn't help himself, does he, Neymar?
Since we've had... we've now had Marquinhos as tested positive.
Oh, blimey, this is
as
bad.
Well. Icardi and Keylor Navas. And there could be more.
Flipping heck.
What does that mean for the league?
Well, the thing is, if you go back, the rules were that if you have four that test positive in the same club, it's classed as spreading within the club. So that means training shut down and the games aren't going to happen. The games are postponed. Now, they're due to play Lens on the 10th of September in the rearranged game, and they play Marseille in Le Classique just a few days later. But it looks like because the league are concerned about too many games getting postponed, if the clubs can guarantee isolation, they're just going to tell them to get on with it and play. So, well, it's good news for Julian Draxler. You have to say that.
He's rubbing his hands together.
You've got to say
sanitise them first, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, France, of course, they're playing Sweden. Yeah. On Saturday. Should be an interesting one there. Tonight, Northern Ireland are away to Romania and Scotland at home to Israel. Netherlands are hosting Poland. Some tasty ones on this Friday night.
Lots to enjoy this weekend.
There's an awful lot to enjoy. But before then,
enjoy responsibly, Marcus. If you can learn anything from Neymar Jr., learn to enjoy things responsibly. Can we all get behind that at least?
I think we should. Yeah. I really do think we should. Something to enjoy, ladies and gentlemen, before then is this.
It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, it is indeed time for Luke's game. And if I may be so bold, as Andy removes a pen and paper in an outrageous display of gamesmanship from his bag, Marcus...
I've learned from the best. I've learned from Kate Mason.
Marcus relaxes back in his chair to show how unbothered he is by the whole thing. But we should point out, as Andy rightly alludes to, this is not a title bout.
Exhibition match.
Yeah, it's a very, very fiercely contested...
Friendly.
Yeah, well, kind. It's like a Nations League game.
Yeah, okay.
This is
Kate Mason is a lineal champion.
This is Tyson and Roy Jones Jr., isn't it?
Okay.
You're not both that old yet, you know. And you, let's be honest, neither of you have ever been shaped Mike Tyson. Here. And nor have I. It is Luke's game. It's one of the most loved contestants in Marcus Speller, I would say.
Ah.
The plucky underdog against the Stephen Hendry over there.
I'm Jimmy White. Yeah.
Yeah, you are a bit, yeah.
He's beginning to annoy me again.
Yeah.
There is a socially distanced Henman Hill outside where all the Speller supporters are congregating.
The people's champion.
Kate Mason's not even turned up today.
No.
She couldn't agree terms to a title defence.
She's the Buster Douglas, isn't she?
So, I'll name a player. You guys auction to how many clubs that player's played for that you can name. Usual story. As ever, the key for this game is to have fire in your belly, but your head in the freezer. Andy Brassel's a higher seed than Marcus Speller in my complicated algorithm. And my player algorithm...
No algorithms, please.
Oh, sorry, yeah. No, my algorithms are much more reliable than that. And my other algorithm, the player algorithm, has thrown up for the first player we have to play. Marcus goes first.
Mm-hmm.
It's Paolo Onechop.
Ooh.
And he has played... for 9 teams.
Has he really?
Retired in 2007. Very, very enjoyable player. Lit up the Premier League. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Onechop.
How many of his 9 clubs can you name, Marcus, in your first quest for a point?
Tricky one. I'll go 3.
I think that's a really solid opening bid, actually. I think it's a fair and solid opening bid. Andy, can you go 4?
No, do you 3.
Okay, 3 for Marcus. 3 clubs that Paolo Onechop's played for. Let me get my little thing because I need to do my dings. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Go ahead, mate.
Derby County.
Correct.
Bolton Wanderers.
Afraid not, my friend.
Poor start.
That's a point to Andy Brassel.
Very poor start.
Started at Herediano.
Yeah.
Then went to Derby County.
Mm-hmm.
West Ham United, Manchester City.
Ah, yes.
Then he moved over to Malaga, Andy, one of your lot. Then Al Gharafa, scene of the Wesley Snyder amazing shout by Kate Mason last week or the week before. Then back to Herediano, Rosario Central, FC Tokyo, finished his career at Chicago Fire. That is 1-0 to Andy Brassel.
1-0 to the Brassel.
Who gets to go first?
I'm not even using my pen and paper yet.
No.
Well, listen, you're about to. Because player 2 has played for 17 clubs.
17!
Oh, dearie me.
He retired in 2010. He also lit up the Premier League.
17 clubs.
Benito Carbone.
Oh.
Nice to hear him mentioned.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. 17 clubs of Benito Carbone.
Okay.
And play along at home because Andy's got his pen and paper out. So I need to do one of the toughest jobs in podcasting and fill this space while Andy's gigantic brain.
The drama is rather curtailed by the fact that my pen doesn't work.
There you go.
Hey!
I should have checked that before.
Why are you giving him your pen?
Actually, I'm not going to give him my pen.
There we go.
Social distancing, I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, there you are.
Favoritism.
I can't. I'm not allowed to. I'm not giving anyone a pen.
It's not favoritism.
No.
He's actually kept it completely, you know.
Social distancing regulation, I mean, we can't share a pen, Andy. So. Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
That's true.
You wonder up, can you make it 2? How many of his clubs can you name of the 17?
I am going to start with a nice and gentle 3.
Marcus, surely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of the listeners here. They want to see you go at least 4.
I know they do. It's so annoying because, like with One Chop, it's kind of like, did he play? I think he. Oh, hang on. No. This is incredibly frustrating.
Get him to name three if you want. It's what you will, then you're right to do so.
Yeah. All right. You can name three.
Go ahead. Is this backfire?
No, I think he's got three.
Come on. Let's have him.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Bradford City. Palmer.
There it
2-0.
Is.
2-0. Well played.
Did he play for Celtic?
He didn't play for Celtic. No.
Oh, okay.
He's played, it's no help to you now, but you probably could have just named any Italian club. And
yeah.
He started out at Torino, Regina, Casatana, Ascoli, Torino again, Napoli, Inter, Sheffield Wednesday, Aston Villa.
Oh, Villa.
Bradford City, Derby County, Middlesbrough, Como, Parma, as Andy said, Catanzaro, Vicenza, a little bit on time on loan at Sydney FC, and finished at Pavia.
In terms of the Premier League, all you needed to really think about is where did he agitate for a move to and upset everyone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He agitated. Do you remember when the Premier League or Sky or someone got him and Paolo Di Canio to eat pizzas in Sheffield Wednesday jerseys?
Yeah,
really, really mean that was. They looked really unhappy as well because the pizzas were undoubtedly shit. They're probably shit pizzas. Anyway, 2-0 to Andy Brassel.
Yeah.
3 to play for though, Marcus.
That's the important thing.
But you're first this time. And we're a little bit closer to home here.
I feel a bit like Gareth Bale last night.
He's played for he's played for seven clubs.
Yeah.
It's Emil Heskey.
Emil Heskey.
Mm.
Well, that changes everything.
Andy, have you ever seen a pair of eyes light up quite so much?
No, I don't think I have.
Emil Heskey.
Emil the Mule.
Is that his name?
I don't know.
Even Heskey scored. Yeah. Lovely fellow, Emil, by the way.
We had a ramble meet.
Lovely, lovely chap.
Oh, yeah. Loveliest of all the chaps.
Great career as well, by the way.
Yeah.
How many of the seven can you name, Marcus? You know, I will not stand for this stalling.
I know you won't. I know you won't.
Is your pen working again now?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, what? Oh, what a power move, that.
Soon
enough when he starts to announce that his pen's working again.
That's very naughty.
Yeah.
I'll go... So, seven, you say?
You know how many I said. Give me a number.
I'll go for five.
Five. Andy, can you go six?
You know, I don't think I can.
You want him to name five?
Yeah, name five.
Okay, Marcus. Five clubs that Emil Heskey's turned out for, one at a time, if you don't mind.
Liverpool.
Correct.
Leicester.
Correct.
Bolton.
Very good, correct.
Ooh.
Aston Villa.
Correct. One more.
I'm going to have a go at the side he played for in Australia.
Go on.
Newcastle Jets.
Very good.
Yes!
Oh, that's an excellent one.
Was there another English side in there?
Leicester City, Liverpool, Birmingham City, Wigan Athletic.
Of course.
Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Newcastle Jets and finish his career, as you said, at Bolton.
I knew there
Wanderers.
Was another a couple of English clubs and I was like, hang on. And you picture the man in different jerseys and you think, hang on, I've just created that.
We did quite a bit on him at Newcastle Jets because didn't he have a player cam? He had a player cam and everyone could follow it to the Emil Heskey cam.
Yeah, I don't remember him playing for Bolton at all.
It was there, but very late on.
Yeah. Very, very.
Was he even Schola? Schola Ramiani?
Might have well been, might well been.
Dream team.
Oh, Andy Johnson was it? Oh, I don't know, anyone I'm getting confused.
Anyway, Andy, you're up first for this one.
Just relieved to get off the mark.
Exactly, 2-1, it's all to play for. You are going to name as many as you can of the nine clubs that Dion Dublin has played for.
Oh, big deal.
Okay.
Retired in 2008, Dion Dublin. 20-year career. Very, very good. How many of his nine can you name? And by the way, just to let you know, Holmes Under the Hammer does not count as a club. All right?
I didn't think it would.
Does it not?
No.
That's very disappointing.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've given you that one for free.
Yeah.
You can both have that one.
Yeah.
I'll start with four.
Four. Can you go five, Marcus? Do I hear five from you?
That's so annoying when someone does that.
Yeah. It's just right in the, I'm
going to have to go five.
Five. You want six, Andy?
No, go on. Have you five.
Five clubs that Dion Dublin's played for, Marcus. Very good opening bid from Andy. Yeah. Tactically very solid, I think we can agree. Five clubs, please, if you don't mind. He's played for nine in total across a 20-year career that ended in 2008.
Cambridge United.
Correct.
Aston Villa.
Correct.
Coventry City.
Correct.
Bollocks, my mind's gone blank. Manchester United.
Correct.
Celtic.
Correct.
It's all square.
That's 2-2.
Do you know what? Norwich City? Did he play for Norwich?
He did, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Norwich was the other one.
Started his career at Norwich City, but didn't make a first-team appearance, but that would still have counted because he also ended his career there.
Yeah.
Norwich, Cambridge United, Barnet, Manchester United, Coventry City, Aston Villa, Millwall, Leicester City, Celtic and Norwich.
So Leicester City.
I probably should have asked this a few weeks ago. So it counts if they were contracted to the club but didn't make an appearance.
They have to have played a first-team game.
He did play first-team game.
Yeah, but he did because he ended his career there.
Right.
Manchester United, he did.
He did, yeah, he played 12 times. Yes. The league.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't. Manchester United, I was a bit like, oh, did he?
No, he did.
I'm pretty sure he did.
He broke his leg quite badly.
So Celtic was the one I was thinking, yeah. Did he play?
So a good example of this would be Robbie Savage, who we won't be doing on this game at any point, who did sign a professional contract for Manchester United, but he never made a first-team appearance, so he wouldn't count.
All right, okay.
Okay, just to make it clear. Okay, the rules change all the time, don't worry about it. final player is Marcus first. It's 2-2. You get to make the opening salvo in the final player. He's only played for 5 clubs.
Okay.
Don't blame me. Blame the algorithm. It's Gary McAllister.
Gary McAllister.
5 clubs of Gary McAllister. Have you ever beaten Andy Brass in this game?
No.
No.
Never.
This is a massive moment.
And I don't think I am going to.
It's going to remain the case.
5 clubs.
Yeah.
Man. That is terribly frustrating.
Retired in 2004. Amazing career, by the way. Started his career in 1981.
Yeah.
1981?
Amazing. Because one of the most well-known parts of his career happened when he was for a football player, very old.
Yeah.
Mm. He's made a contribution to many clubs. Marcus, can you finally make a contribution to this game and stamp your mark on it? Win over Andy Brassel.
What I normally do is I build the excitement and we go into the last frame and so on, and then I Jimmy White it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 3.
Andy, do I hear 4 from you?
Well, I guess I've got to go 4, don't I?
You're taking the reins. You're going
to
go 4.
I have to.
Do you want to name all 5 or do you want Andy to name 4?
I want Andy to name 4.
Okay, Andy.
And I'm delighted that he's chosen 4.
Because you didn't know 3?
No.
Oh, what a great play. A great play. Very well done.
Yeah.
Okay, so Andy, one at a time, please. If you can please name 4 of the 5 clubs that Gary McAllister played for.
Coventry.
Correct. Played for them twice.
Liverpool.
But it 2 spells at Coventry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 spells. Yeah, sorry. Disrespectful. Yeah.
Leeds.
Correct. Need 1 more.
Birmingham City.
He's done it. Press the button.
Marcus Speller wins.
There it is.
Amazing scenes, really.
It's the first time outing for that Pete Donaldson voiceover, but the People's Champion has finally delivered, ladies and gentlemen. That's for you, you sexy beasts out there.
Listen,
they're going wild
on
Speller Hill.
It's the first time the button's been pressed on the show. Marcus, however, has been pressing it himself quite a lot of time in his own time. But amazing win for you. So Motherwell is where Gary McAllister started his career. Yeah. You wouldn't have got that, I wouldn't have thought. The other club you were after, the one you were grasping for, Andy Brassel, was actually Leicester City.
Yeah.
Played for them over 200 times, and then Leeds, Coventry, Liverpool, then back to Coventry. Again, an historic landmark win for Marcus Speller. Monkey's off his back officially.
Yep.
Presumably, you're gunning for Kate Mason's crown next.
Well, I want Kate to enjoy it.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I'm going to enjoy this.
you should.
I'm not about the medals, I'm about the glory.
Exactly.
I'm about the
and
praise.
You've not had your fair share of that.
No, certainly not. There we are. Well, lovely old job, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the football, enjoy England. We're back on Monday, of course, so get your ears around that. But until then, thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, good listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.